saw something fascinating on the news. It was a man who had narrowly escaped the Taj Hotel in Mumbai, which is the old Bombay in India. And it caught my ear because at one point I stayed at the Taj. And for those of you who don't know, there's some extreme terrorist group launched another heinous attack against the Chabad house there in India, which is a sort of a Jewish hostel. And it's multiple strikes in different places. But the point is, this man escaped the Taj, unlike quite a few counterparts. I guess a lot of people were slaughtered in India. And he was being asked, as the news loves to sensationalize these things, what was it like? And he was quite clear, because he said, because they said, were you afraid? You know? He said, I wasn't really afraid. He said, I was freaked. And the news guy, what do you mean freaked? He said, I never had time to be afraid. I just knew I had to get out. And everything took over from there, and I got out. He said, after I got to the airport, then I got terribly afraid. This will seem like a strange transition, but you'll understand in a moment. Have you ever seen a beetle on its back? Yes. Huh? Have you? Do you ever feel like a beetle on your back? Yes. You know, all six legs. And human beings, it's our nature, unfortunately, to anthropomorphize all living things. And so you think to yourself, if you do, and perhaps you don't notice things like that and don't care. I always flip them over. You think to yourself, God, if I was that beetle, no wonder, that thing's probably scared to death. Well, because it's on its back, it can't get over, it could die there, or something come along a lot bigger than it, and that's the end of the beetle. So the beetle's, wouldn't you think that the beetle is in fear? Wouldn't you? Well, it's not. Beetle doesn't feel fear. In fact, the only creatures that we know of, anyway, at this point, that feel psychological fear are human beings and possibly dogs or other higher mammals whose emotional center is developed enough to the point where there's the gradual capacity for imagination. Fear is impossible without imagination. Psychological fear is impossible without imagination. So it's negative imagination, actually, that is the father of fear. And I'm bringing this up because I want to talk to you about a certain kind of fear that all human beings live with and in consistently, that without coming to a new understanding of themselves, there's no hope other than to feed the fear, which then turns into greed and other acts of self-compromise. What I'm going to say next runs completely counter to everything that men and women generally think. And that is that there is absolutely no value, none, to any form of psychological measurement. None. None. Yes, there is a value to measurement. If I'm going to cook peas in a pod and I want to have four people over, I need 4 times 82 peas, which is 362. Don't do the math, it's wrong. (Laughter) But if you examine why you measure yourself, then you can start to understand why there is no value in it. Measurement of oneself basically takes place because one hopes that if they can, after the event, because the measurement always takes place after the event, the negative measurement takes place after the event. Or you might even measure yourself before the event and not even try. And it seems to us, imagine something that you do. You get up and you give a talk, you're an athlete of some kind, you're a painter, you're a singer, you're a performer, you have some avocation that you love. And you do what you do. And as you're doing it, or right when you're done doing it, you look at what you've done, and immediately there is a measurement that takes place as to the effect of your actions, the efficacy of your action. How good was that? Was it clear? Was it true? Did it answer what I was looking to accomplish? And if we're honest, most of the time, and I would add in parentheses, necessarily so, it doesn't always add up to what one anticipates it should be. But when we look at these things, and then we see that we did not make it, we didn't hit the mark, in that instant, this measurement takes place, and it seems that the purpose for the measurement is for improvement of oneself. This is why human beings measure themselves, in quotes. But the first thing that you have to understand is that you didn't measure yourself in that moment. It is not you that measured yourself. There is a preconditioned body of expectation, images pro and con woven through the psychological system, and one endeavors to do something, and in the moment they do it, whether or not the ideal is manifested is instantaneously met with the imagined ideal. So a body of desire looks at the outcome of that desire, and it either brushes it away as having been absolutely inadequate, or it applauds itself mildly, or it goes, "You're fantastic. I'm never going to do anything again as long as I live." Because that's the best. Never going to get better than that. You do something, that's it, I'm done. Now, the reason there's absolutely no value, none, in psychological measurement, one, is because it is not you that has produced, first of all, the measurement. Number two, there is always resistance that produces the measurement. You can't have a measurement without something being contrasted. Do you understand that? Measurement is contrast. Contrast, one way or another, is a form of resistance. And so what happens when you measure yourself is in that split second, let me take the word "you" out of it. When the divided mind measures what it perceives its effect is against what it imagined it should be, in that moment there is tremendous opposition and there is pain in it. And it is the pain that you experience in the moment of that measurement that you take as either the affirmation or the denial of what it was that you attempted to do. And then when it doesn't turn out what you wanted to do, you sit and you measure in thought what it was you did. In other words, the mind creates pictures. It actually kind of pulls up a running file of what just happened, and it looks at it and it examines it and says, "How can I do better? How am I going to be better than that?" And what we're looking at here is something that is much more profound than that. And that is that either change takes place in the moment or it doesn't take place at all. Thinking about things changes nothing but the thinker. Thinking about things changes nothing but the thinker. And if you can understand this, the thinker is not what made the measurement in that moment. Did it? Did you sit and think, here, you do something and you do bad those, and you go, "Well, let's see, let's think about what happened. Oh, I feel bad." Does it go like that? Or do you do it and just like that? Oh God, that was terrible. Yes or no? Just like that. No thinker involved. But appears the thinker afterwards that's brought out of this pain, the self that's going to try to reconcile it, goes, "Let's see now. I should have done this. And I should have done that. Or it could have been like this." And listen to the whole point, would you please? Change, real change, takes place when the light of awareness reveals the action of something that is incomplete or unaware of itself. That's when change takes place. And believe it or not, and this is what we don't like about it, there's no you involved in it. You're the one who agrees. In other words, you do something foolish, stupid, worrisome, and immediately, if you watch yourself, there's instantaneous. There's me and what I did. Instantaneous. Me and what just happened. That way, we stay safe. Because now I'm not the one who didn't do the good job. Now I'm not the one who has an incomplete understanding of the golf swing or the music composition or the ability to be charming. I'm the one who is charming and who hates the one who isn't charming in me. And I will now think about how to be charming. I will come up with a way through measuring myself to never again make that same faux pas and hopefully escape all ridicule, including that which I do to myself. When the answer, listen please, is not an improved continuation of that order of consciousness, but the revelation that that order of consciousness cannot and should not go on as it has been, because the light has revealed it to be still incomplete. So a new way of meeting the moment is born in that individual when they start realizing. And have you ever hated yourself? Can you hate yourself without measuring yourself? And when you hate yourself, there is the hater, me, and there is the thing I hate, me. But I don't think to myself that what I don't like in myself is me at all. It's an intruder. Something that snuck in, got in there by accident. It was mom's fault. And I'm going to never be like that again. And as I've told you 100 times, and this is why measurement of any psychological nature can't change anything, because resistance is attraction. Resistance actually causes a human being to embrace the thing they don't want. And when you measure yourself, is it always not what you don't want about yourself? Isn't it? When you measure yourself, it's what you don't want about yourself. And the more you don't want that about yourself, the more you got yourself. Understand? Catch that. Just catch it. And look, it is just like that. And Ken was saying that. You can't stop that. That's all hardwired inside of you. But what you can do is catch the moment of that contraction. We talk about it often. Catch the moment of that contraction that is produced by a body of thought resisting a set of images that run contrary to its ideal. And in the moment of that resistance, you can come wide awake. And if you remember, I guess it was, what is this, Friday night? If you remember Wednesday night, there's nothing more to discuss. There is nothing more to discuss. And you do not go into measurement. Instead, you keep the aperture of the mind open. You keep yourself wide awake so that you can see all of these constituent parts trying to wrestle with one another to do one thing. And what's the one thing all of them are trying to do? To keep you in place so that that unwanted behavior will continue. Because that's what it wants, but not what you want. Stop measuring yourself and you'll see a completely different kind of life.
Hello, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. You've been listening to best-selling author Guy Finley. To learn more about Guy Finley and his nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation, visit guyfinley.org. That's GUYFINLEY.org. Receive helpful free gifts along with a host of life-changing information. That's guyfinley.org.